Brother Mark, I just thank you for leading worship this morning. And I guess it's been about 2 weeks ago. I know Brother Mark is kind of like my son. They're getting off very late at night and hectic work schedules. And grateful Brother Mark was willing to lead worship. And, you know, anytime Rocky asked me to share, it's always a blessing. Of course, you know, when you're up here in this pulpit here, it's a little different. You look at things a little differently than when you're sitting down there, so to speak. And not as you're receiving down there, but up here, you want the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And so I've prepared, I've studied, and last Saturday morning, June the 6th, I got up in my quiet time, and before I prayed this morning, the Lord spoke directly to my people. So Clarence, I'm going to go ahead and give the name of the, if I had to title it, I told Clarence, if I got to title it, he spoke right to my spirit, he said, remind my people. So that's going to be the name of the message this morning, remind my people. Father, this morning, Lord, Father, Brother Mark said, this chaos and confusion, Lord, and Father, I thank you that you stepped down into this mess, Lord, to set us free, Lord, to guide us, to help us, Lord, and not only that, Lord, Father, you blessed us with an opportunity to share the gospel, and that's what we want to do this morning, Father. We look to your word for truth, Lord, we look to your word, Lord, that would free us. Lord, Father, I've studied, I've prepared, Lord, but I'm asking, Lord, you would clear any part of me, Lord. You need to do the speaking. Lord, once again, grateful for everybody's here and it's streaming live internet, Lord. And Father, we just thank you this morning for your word. Thank you, Lord, what a gift that you've given us, Lord. That, Lord, the more we understand about your love, the more we have a greater understanding of you, Lord, and your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm so glad as I was reading this week, I was just thinking about all the examples in the Bible. You know, I love that when the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun, because certainly nothing has changed in the history of man. That's why Jesus stepped into humankind, because when we get right down to the measure, men's hearts are evil. And so as I was in my quiet time last week, when I opened up my first devotional last week, if you would, go to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. And if I'm going to use a little, skin color tone example here. You know, every summer I work hard out there with my son and my wife and grandkids, and I get out there on the jet ski, and, you know, I love that how my complexion kind of gets a little different skin tone there, closer to Brother Juan and Mark, and hey, I work hard on that, and, you know, but that goes away. And, Mark chapter 7 and verse 21, as we look at this and we see what's going on in our nation and around the world, it's just not here, it's across the globe as we see the destruction. You know, when we rebel against God, that's what happens. Destruction takes place. Our adversary knows this nation is not perfect, people, but I tell you this, this nation is a given nation. I can see, just as a small community church right here, what we've done for the glory of God and how he's used Pastor Rocky and everybody here that's given, how we have helped people around the world through God's grace. And he hates this nation. And he hates for what? Every church that shares the true gospel, he hates that. So, yes, we have a lot of things to work out in this nation. But this verse really stuck out to me last Saturday, and this is where I got the message from when I opened up my devotional. It's Mark chapter 7, and I'm going to start in verse 21. He says, "For from within, out of the heart of men." So this is on the inside. Certainly, the enemy uses our skin color as a dividing point, and our cultures and our ethnicities and all those things, but all of this stuff comes out of the heart of men. Proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. And this is Jesus' words. He says, all these evil things come from within and defile a man. All these things. Rocky's message last week on it's unity, love, and truth. That is what binds us. And, you know, I thought about, is Jesus, was going through Samaria, and he got down to get a drink of water. The Bible said he was thirsty. He was legitimately there for a drink of water. And here comes this Samaritan lady. Now, she showed up at a time of day because of her history. She had been married 5 times, so certainly probably that time of the day there wasn't a lot of people there. And you know how the enemy wants to work. When we do something wrong as Christians, he wants that feeling of shame to sit in on us. And, you know, in our culture today, with all the things that are going on, you know, there's a place for conversation, and Jesus initiates this conversation. We can sit down and have conversations, respectful, and the Bible says, let us reason together. And that's what Jesus did here with her. Jesus didn't shame her. He directly addressed what her problem was. And not only did she get saved out of that conversation, people come back and they receive salvation. So we can see God has a plan, even in our sinful nature, that when we're in agreement with Him and we're... I can speak for myself. When I say something wrong, as we're going to get to the heart of the message here, that conviction sets in on me. Even if it's, and I hate to use the term anymore, but that little white lie that's in my heart. How would you like God to look inside everyone's heart here? I wouldn't want Him to do that. Now, I confess my sins every day. I repent. But when we confess, we come to the Lord, and that Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, and we sit there, and it convicts us, and then all we do is confess it to Him. And then we're forgiven, and then we move on. The enemy wants to bring you back up. You know, I was in my corporate job years ago, and I remember one of the meetings, and something similar to what Pastor Rocky said last week, but I can do 1,000 good deeds or 1,000,000 good deeds, and people will remember by the one wrong thing that I do, and that's wrong. That's not God's heart. So if you take the example of Brother Paul in the book of Acts, as he's... Yeah, and this really encouraged my heart, because we always hear about Paul and Silas, and, you know, but before that, Paul was actually, a lot of places Paul went, there was protesting. There was chaos. As a matter of fact, when Paul was sitting there, this lady of a demonic spirit had been following them, and he just finally had enough, and he rebuked her in the name of Jesus, and that evil spirit left her. Well, the people that were making money, using this lady to make money off of her, they didn't like that. So, of course, they took him before the people there in the city, and the Bible says that a mob grew. And out of this mob, now here they're doing the work of the Lord, being falsely accused, and what happens? They get beaten and thrown in jail. And that really stands out to me one thing, that when we're doing the work of God, the Bible says, Jesus tells his disciples, they're going to hate you. If they hate me, they're going to hate you. You know, you're going to have things said about you that aren't true. So what happens when they're put in... But when we do the right things and we're put in that prison, maybe it's just, you know, somebody's shaming us, or we just feel like, man, Lord, what can I do here? But you know what the most amazing thing about when they praise and worship? Not only did the chain fall off, so when we do the right things, chains are going to fall in the spiritual realm. Not only that, but look at the people that got saved out of that tough situation. So God is always working in those situations. Would you go with me over to Proverbs chapter 6? Proverbs chapter 6. I think about just the heart issue. That's what it is. It's just a heart problem. As individuals, as a nation, as a world, it's just a heart problem. And, you know, I think about, I listened to a pastor from Times Square Church a week ago, Monday night on my way home, and he said, we've removed God from the culture. We've removed the teachers from sharing anything about God. He said, so you've got a godless teaching with godless kids, and he said, this is what we get. Proverbs chapter 6. Clarence, would you mind pulling up that definition of that word hate? The definition of the word hate, it says intense hostility and aversion. That word aversion just means dislike, usually deriving from fear, anger, or a sense of injury. Fear, anger, or a sense of injury. Proverbs chapter 6, go to verse 16. This really caught my attention because for me personally, as I do you know, I try to keep up with the headlines, and I know most of you do. I try not to get the information. You know, we need to watch where we get our information from. We need to look at several things. We need to watch what we listen to, where we get it from. And I thought about starting in verse 16 right here. I thought about the word hate when I thought about this. Now, this is very strong language. Think about, you know, if there's one thing I come to my mind, actually yesterday, was about King Solomon. And one thing when God told him he could have anything he wanted, and he said, I need discernment. I need wisdom how to handle these people. And isn't that what we need in this culture and in this setting? That's what we need to deal with these situations. That, you know, we need to know when to speak and when not to speak. We need to know when to listen, and I think it's just so important. But Solomon, that's amazing that he said, I mean, I'm sure I wouldn't have said that, honestly, but now that would be my prayer, that I would get wisdom and understanding in everything that I do. But Proverbs chapter 6, start in verse 16. Think about this. It says, these six things the Lord hates. He hates this. So it's just not for those that are out sinning in the streets. And even though I wasn't doing some of the things that some people are doing around the world, hey, I was still sin. I was still lost in my sin. I was doing things I shouldn't have been doing, the drinking and driving. I was doing the things that, hey, my sin may not have been as bad as yours or vice versa, but I was still sinning. I'm not going to stand for somebody else. I'm going to stand for myself one day before the Lord. He said, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. And I thought about why the Lord hates sin. Because the illustrations that God gives us here is to show us that when we do sin, there can be some terrible consequences. So he's trying to forewarn us here. He says, yes, seven are an abomination to him. And that word abomination has to do with despicable. He dislikes it so much it's despicable in his sight. That's really the best definition I could find that. So let's go with verse 17, Proverbs 6, verse 17. To me, it's amazing that it starts with a proud look, pride. You think about the very fall of Lucifer. I mean, here you've got one of the most beautiful beings that the Lord ever created, and that wasn't good enough. With all his gifts and talents and everything that the Lord had given him, and what did he want? He wanted the honor and the glory that was due only the Father. That's what he wanted. And not only that, that goes to show you that when he was kicked out of heaven, he took a third of them with him. So when we do wrong, we got plenty of people that want to come along with us. There's no doubt about that. So pride, I think about even, you know, growing up in church and getting out, and I'm sure many of y'all would agree. How many people, and I work with Rocky, so I know Rocky would share the gospel every now and then. But you know, it's our pride that when somebody shares the gospel and we don't want to surrender to the good news. You know, think of how many people they're worried about what their family might think. I mean, we certainly see other religions around the world that would cost you your life if you give up that to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. What about marriages? When you think about marriages, there's no division. The pride there, you know, you don't see it my way, I don't see it your way, and then we divorce. So the pride that takes place in the marriages. You know, I think about the reverse of that is humbleness. And you think about, I love what you said, Brother Mark, chaos and confusion. Think about Jesus, I mean, in heaven. And he's going to step down into this, right in the middle of all of this to bring peace. And yet he's equipped us to do the same thing. He's the very spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in us right now. But we have to be sensitive to that. And we can't, emotions and anger and feelings and everything that we see, that's okay. But we have to come back to what the Word of God says and be controlled. Our emotions have to be controlled by this book. Proverbs 4:23. There's going to be several verses, Clarence, that I didn't send you last night. I was getting a little tired and sleepy, and so forgive me. And Clarence, you do a great job. I know a lot gets thrown on you at the last second, so I greatly appreciate all the people back there in the technology booth. But Proverbs 4:23. It says, guard your hearts above all else. A little bitterness, resentment, a little jealousy can lead to wrong thinking, motives, and actions. Isn't that the truth? I think about just humility. Jesus being willing to die on the cross for all mankind. Look what that did. That humility, the power to change lives, what it did. Look at the power in humbleness. It's unbelievable that Jesus humbled himself to a cross. The Bible says, he experienced the same things that we did, the exact same things, yet he didn't sin. Honestly, for me, I've come a long way looking back, but to sit there and think I could go the rest of my life and never have a wrong thought or say the wrong thing, I would like to think that I could, but that's why he created grace. I seen a guy's arm, he reached down from heaven and it was Jesus and he had grace, and the other guy's hand reaching up had faith. I said, isn't that awesome? Because that's how it's just a gift. Think about the pride of somebody's forgiveness. I'm sure as many of us can agree with, family can be messy. And sometimes people do make us angry and upset us. But, just as God has extended his hands of grace. And I wouldn't, Lord have mercy. To sit there and see what happened in our nation. For anyone to lose their life is just, that's just the evilness in a man's heart. And I would like to think something like that can never come out of my heart, but the book doesn't say that. Without this book in our lives, any sin is possible. It's the only thing that restrains us. Oh, thank you, Lord. Yes. I wrote this down, and this is one thing, if I wanted to get out of the pride, the most important part of us to recognize is me as an individual, is that no one comes to the cross proudly. No one comes to the cross proudly. It's only the blood of Jesus Christ that saves from sin. Brother Mark and I, it's funny, the years of being in church and involved with different things, and it's funny to a certain degree. We were over in Israel, and we had gone to Ben Yehuda Street to shop, and I bought this little necklace right here. It looks like a doorpost. And, Darlene will tell you, we go a lot of places, and there's been very few people that have recognized this necklace. Most people think it's the pi sign in math. I'm not a very math-educated guy, so that would be over my head to begin with. But I understand this, covered by the blood, life in Hebrew. So I was working in Richmond, and I got off the interstate and stopped at a chain store that had the gas pumps and all that. And I'm sitting there. I was probably looking at my phone, just communicate with Darlene. And from a distance, I always park, try to get my exercise in at the end of the parking lot. And I see this guy approaching my vehicle. And I've shared this on a Wednesday night. And, we're to be wise. Now, if this guy were to walk into the church, he was certainly dressed different than I was. It was the type of weather where you had on a real thin shirt. It wasn't cold, wasn't hot. So anyway, as I'm getting out of my car and I see him coming to me. Now, the younger people by streaming or here would not know what a station wagon is, but he had an old station wagon. And this thing was a beater. And I'll never forget it. It had smoke when he pulled up at the thing, and it looked like a car. It was at least two, if not four kids in the back. And he, as he approached me, his wife, I'm assuming it was his wife sitting in a passenger seat. So he gets up to my car. Well, I met him in front of my car, and I'm on guard here. I'll be honest. So he said, "Man," he said, "you got $5 that I can have for gas." And in the midst of that, he told me that he was headed to Dinwiddie. In the midst of that, he seen my necklace, and the joy. Amidst his poverty-looking situation, maybe he was a millionaire. I don't think he was. He seen this necklace, man. His joy. It was undeniable, man. It spoke to my heart. He forgot his wife, his kids. And he said, "Where did you get that from?" And I said, "Well, I got this in Israel." And I was thinking he's going to say the mass sign. He says, "That's life in Hebrew." Not only does that guy go on about God in his church, he pulls up his sleeves. And I'm not a tattoo guy, but if I was, I would want to be just like him. He had scriptures up and down his house. I don't know what I get. I probably get that guy $30 that day. I don't know. But it was, what an amazing, you know, the joy of the Lord. Ain't that something that we can have that in the midst of all these circumstances? And the things that in the ministry that I've got to be fortunate enough to allow me to be a part of, if I had five things to pick out, that would be the second or third thing. That despite that guy's circumstances, I mean, he loved the Lord. There was no denying his love for God. Once again, Proverbs 6, 17, a proud look. Let's move on to number two. A lion tongue. Isn't that something amazing how a three-year-old kid, you know, you don't have to teach him how to do that. I think even in it goes back to the Garden of Eden. They hid from the Lord. So I think about, you know, for me on this one, and, you know, it's tough when you go to a setting. You know, I've seen a couple pastors talk about this, you know, when somebody, you sit down at a meal and there's some food there and it just really doesn't agree with you. And, you know, do you want to just sit there, man, this is the worst food I ever had. You know, but you understand the heart behind that. But, you know, there's always consequences for sin. No slight how they may be, there's always consequences for it. And I'm going to read this because this just kind of stands out to me while I got my eyes on it. 1 John 4:20, it says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. So I can come to church all day long, praise the Lord, say all these good things, and then I got hate in my heart for somebody else, I'm a liar. That's what God's word says. So we need to be mindful of that. Brother Juan would be better with this word, the part of the brain that starts with an A, the amalgam. But when we tell the consistent little lies in our brain, that area continues to shrink. So no longer does that process of telling those lies, it no longer has the effect that it would have if we just messed up and told it and confessed it and moved on. So the amygdala? The amygdala? Okay. But I read that. It's just amazing how our brain works. If we want to override truth, you know, God's allowed us, you know, we'll suffer the consequences for those choices. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Psalm 120, verse 2, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and a deceitful tongue. Colossians 3:9, I love this. I think I got this from the New Living, I believe. It says, don't lie to each other, for we have stripped off our old nature and all of its wicked deeds. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands to shed innocent blood. And I think most people fully understand the shedding of innocent blood. And with the not going into a lot of details with that, you know, life is a gift from God, and we need to cherish that. Every life is valuable to God. You know, it's only, I think about even my life, you know, the very fortunate side to have been born in this nation when he could have placed us anywhere in the world. What an opportunity that we have here to show the love of Christ around the world. It's just amazing. Hands that shed innocent blood. I'm going to share, Clarence, I believe you had this one, 1 John 3:15. 1 John 3:15. 1 John... Maybe you don't have that one. Okay. 1 John 3:15. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and no murderer has eternal life abided in him. Once again, that word hate. We just need to be mindful for the things that we allow in our hearts. Number four, a heart that devises wicked plans. You know, I think about, you know, our thoughts are, when we have these thoughts, and I guess I could say, if I could relate it to a football field, thoughts in the field of action, they take place here before they manifest. And then as they manifest, it can lead to sin. And that sin can lead us to bondage. We must never show the love of Christ to others for gain or to gain the upper hand. I think that's so important. We, by the grace of God, he uses us. And I think of Brother Paul in the New Testament when he went about sharing Christ. He certainly was smarter than most of the people he associated with. And he didn't get entangled in worthless arguments. He lifted up the banner of Christ. He lifted up Christ crucified. And that's the most important thing we need to do, is lift up Christ crucified, a heart that devises wicked plans. Number five, feet that are swift to running to evil. Let's just be honest. There's people in every setting, including the church, that are quick to run on the latest gossip, scandal, whatever the case may be. But the bad thing about that is most of the time, I've noticed in my life when something takes place, and we've all seen it, is they grow feet of their own. So the time from point A, by the time it gets to point D, it's a completely different story. And I think it's important to really, we need to watch what we take in. And certainly, if we're put in a situation where we should warn somebody, or maybe of a business dealing or a transaction, we need to be honest. It doesn't mean, I love to, somebody has made the comment about, you know, being joyful every day about sticking your head in the sand. Well, this morning when I got up, my head was in, looking outside at God's creation, hearing the birds, and we don't stick our head in the sand, so to speak. We're very aware, but we have a God of hope. And I'm hopeful that even in our nation, the things that's taking place, you know, that somehow we know if we're believers, you know, God is going to work it for good. That doesn't mean as Christians we're not going to suffer some things through this, because we are. We're going to suffer some things through this. But the most important thing is are we leading those brothers and sisters? You know, their feelings and emotions are real, but we need to somehow use this Christ crucified as a drawing point for them to be drawn to the gospel, to the cross. That's what it's all about. Oh, aren't you so glad this morning? Man, I just think about God's grace, how he takes us in. He never shames us. He picks us right back up, and we keep moving forward. Man, I love that. You know, what's in the rearview mirror, whether you're for the monuments or not the monuments and all those types of things, I look back at the monuments in my life, and they've taught me some things. And hopefully some of those same mistakes and some of those things that I built in the past, I can look back and say, first, I know how to handle the situation better, and it's a good reminder for me. So let's make sure that even though we're saved by grace and them things, we're never above anybody else. I've been involved in some situations in my past that I'm not proud of, and I always tell people, and they'll say, "Well, you didn't do what I did." You know, I never esteem anyone. I'm better than no one. I want to be that guy at the foot of the cross every day looking up, thanking God for what he's given me. Because he said not one of us. He said we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us. None of us arrived. None of us have an excuse. But our goal is to let our light shine and bring those people around us. You know, the Bible has said the perilous times are come. As Christians, we shouldn't be surprised at what's taking place. Actually, what an opportunity. I mean, what an opportunity for us. It's nothing to be down. I mean, sure, we're upset at all the stuff that's happening, but man, I am so hopeful. And I've shared on Wednesday night, I see God's hand working in the church. And I do believe the church has had it easy for a long time. There's nobody here being threatened. We'd get their head cut off that I know of. So we need to be mindful that, you know, it's fine to sit in the pews on Sunday, but our job is out there with the people. And on our jobs and how we handle our finances and how we handle those situations when I'm sure Brother Mark and my son, you know, they're in the business arena. So you're going to have some people, you know, falsely accuse you. Maybe the package didn't show up or you didn't put it there, you know. But God's equipped them to handle that. He's and just like in the book of Esther, he's raised us up for this season. Well, I mean, what a privilege that he's chosen us for this time and this place to share the glory of God. Number six, a false witness who speaks lies. We should just, I mean, that just goes back to, you know, we should never be deceitful in any of our business. We don't need to do anything to gain an advantage in any circumstance or intentionally try to hurt someone to get to change the outcome. It's like somebody going in the courtroom saying, okay, I'm going to intentionally lie here so we can get this result. We should never, that in a Christian's mind, that should never take place. 1 Peter 3:10. He who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Once again, that was 1 Peter 3:10. Let me move my... A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and the last one. And when you look at this list, seven things that he hates, and an abomination that starts with pride and it ends with a false witness who speaks lies, I'm sorry, and the one who sows discord among brethren, among church, among brothers and sisters in the church. I love what Pastor Rocky said last week that, you know, love requires humility and a house divided cannot stand. As a church, people, you know, there's some things that we can disagree on. For me, I just try to keep my focus on, I love reading the Word of God. It's a priority for me every morning. But that's the only way for me to grow. I mean, I don't want to stay, and thankfully, you know, I used to, when Rocky used to ask me to share, and I think it's important to be honest, I used to get, you know, Rocky has modeled the life and followed the Lord his whole life. And I didn't do that. But, you know, God, out of that, and that wasn't God's necessarily his A plan for me was to get away from him because it wasn't. But in the things I did get away from, he has greatly taught me. And there may be a person or two because I've experienced some things that I can help. But I used to kind of say, it used to be kind of more a burden to share the Word of God than it was a blessing. And any time that we get to share the Word of God is a blessing. For myself, my study time was very limited over the past couple weeks just because of my work schedule, too. Amongst all the coronavirus and the stuff that's been taking place in the world, I never thought I would see in this nation, I've been in the grocery business all my life, I've never seen the panic and the fear of people in this nation. You would think we were, and I hate to say it, in one of those nations where you're eating the beans and rice for three meals a day. It's just been quiet. I've seen people spend money, honestly, and it's not a bad thing. I mean, God has provided, blessed this nation. When I took my corporate job in Richmond, one of the things that I had to get on the stock market, and one of the things that really dumbfounded me about this nation can feed the world. It's amazing what God has allowed to take place in this. I mean, millions, and I mean, whether you want a bean or you want a cow, I mean, this nation is amazing what he has done here. We are so blessed in this nation. Once again, just fortunate we're so blessed to be here. And the one thing we should never do, if we have an issue with a brother or sister, we should go to them. And in years past, I can't remember being back in the old building and, you know, I think whether it's Brother Mark or Rocky, you know, on a Sunday morning, I mean, some mornings when they're speaking, if they want to share a little something with you when they come in the door. And some mornings that you can tell they're completely focused on what they want to share. You know, we need to allow that grace in that area. I can just remember a long time ago in a building or whatever, you know, people, they maybe Rocky wouldn't speak to them. They could be sitting right there. He's up here focused. And, that's somebody who's certainly as a Christian, that shouldn't be the case. He's a man of God and God is preparing him and he's focused on what he needs to bring that day. And I know myself, and I'm sure many of you can testify, some nights you don't get any sleep. Some mornings you're extremely tired. Sometimes you're studying for the message. It doesn't go exactly how you want it to go. And so we need to be mindful when we say, well, or maybe I always, in the past, and I've shared this with Darlene, you can share me the same message 50 times. I never want to be prideful enough that I don't want to hear it. Because you could play it a million times, wouldn't be enough. And maybe that particular season or that message you're not going through at that particular time, but sooner or later you're going to face that. So it's always good to be prepared. Ephesians 4:31. Clarence, I'm not for sure if I give that to you. I didn't think I did, but I'll just read it. There's no need to go there. Ephesians 4:31. You know, it's one thing I like about this older Bible that I have. I'm missing some pages. So at least that let me know that I've been using it. So, but I'm going to start, I guess, well, I've already shared that one. I'll start in Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even in Christ forgave you. Humility and love, as Rocky shared last week. He also, I wrote this down just to bring back up, rejecting God's truth always brings deception. It always. Sin always leads to rebellion. It's going to cost us when we decide we're going to just, okay, I hear this and I hear this, and then let's go to God's word to seek the truth. We don't need to be deceived. We need to hear the true gospel. You know, every day that we get up, the Bible says it's a battle between our flesh and our spirit. That's a daily battle. It's a 24/7, you know, every day of the year, every minute of the year, it's a battle for our flesh. We have to pick up every day and deny our flesh. Matter of fact, that scripture, Clarence, I believe, did I give that one to you? Matthew 16, verse 24. He said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You know, Jesus was always so upfront with his disciples about, you know, following Christ. He said, make sure you're going to count the cost if you're going to follow me. Christian living and Christian beliefs are two different things. That's an entirely... Our walk with God, the people that we work with, that everybody we come in contact with, well, if we do make a mistake, we should be quick to ask for their forgiveness and say we're sorry. You know, being married all these years, you know, I haven't always done that and modeled it the way I should have sometimes. You know, sometimes your flesh just feels good for being angry for a little bit longer than it needs to be. So when Darlene and I got married years ago, I can remember the pastor, I believe it was a Methodist pastor, and he brought us into his home. And this gentleman here was probably 70 years old, maybe, Darlene. He was a little bit older pastor. But he said, talking about the wife and husband relationship, he said that, you know, the Bible says, you know, you're not to go to bed angry. And he looked at both of us and he said, I would like to tell you guys that I've done that. He said, but I haven't. He said, but we need to do everything we can to honor the Lord in that. Amen. I'll swing back to Proverbs. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart devises wicked plans, feet that are swift and run into evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. I guess he kind of summed it up, huh? That's a broad scope. So, I think, as I'm going to close here this morning, the love of Christ, I just wrote down that it's only our tenderness and the willingness to love other people that's going to make a difference. You know, I'm sure, I think about my grandmother, who for years, she was a godly woman. I have the Lord's Supper in my garage, and I've got some of her Bibles that are close to 100 years old. And I think a woman who loved the Lord and prayed. And I think about where, you know, there's people, there's certainly people in my genetic line that is the reason that my life has turned around today. And I'm, you know, I could just be worldly, you know, living in sin. But thank God for those people in the past of our family. And maybe this morning you've never had that, maybe. But today's a new day. And, you know, Jesus went to the cross. He suffered a terrible beating, suffered a terrible death. So all we have to do is say, thank you, Lord. I accept you as Lord and Savior. It's so simple. I know people struggle sometimes, and they've told me they just struggle with the gift, the grace of God. And, you know, I can't understand, you know, if you look at the history of the world and you even from the days of Noah to our current day right now, you know, how patient the Lord is with us and how gracious He is. Because it's His will before He comes back that everyone would come to the knowledge, but we're to do our part to help to spread that. And as we move forward here in the next days and weeks and months, and, you know, we're battling so many things between the virus and, you know, the other stuff in our nation with the injustices and all them things, aren't you glad that God's still in control? God's not sitting up there, you know, He's in complete control, and He's going to work all of these things out for good. And as much as it breaks my heart, you know, whether it's on a personal level or on a national level, I mean, we need to make sure that we're lifting up Christ, because that's how people, that's what's going to separate us from everybody else saying, well, they shouldn't do that. There's a place for the conversations. Our nation is a church, man. We should have mourned with those people. That's terrible. And anybody that thinks that's okay, they need to check their gospel, because that's wrong. Lord, forgive us, because we are a sinful people. You have richly blessed this nation well beyond anything we deserve. Lord, I'm praying that you would draw us back to your heart. Lord, I pray that men and women of God would stand back up for our schools, Lord, so in our universities, Lord, on the street. Lord, they don't need a sermon. They need your love, just like we did. Lord, I know it breaks your heart. I can see that tear, Lord, just coming down from your face, looking out over your people, Lord. But Lord, I'm grateful you sent your son Jesus on that cross, Lord, to die for our sins, to give us a new start, Lord, that you could set free, Lord. Father, you've come back to restore. Lord, the enemy, Lord, we're on the winning team. The enemy is a defeated foe. He has no power other than what we give him, Lord. So, Lord, I'm praying during this time over every individual heart. Lord, we're going to fall short at times. Thank you for grace, your love. Someone who never shames us, never lets us down, freely forgives us. Lord, help us. We're crying out to you this morning, Lord. We're asking you to help us as a nation. Draw us back to your heart, Lord. Sort of change these hatred in men's hearts, Lord. Lord, the enemy has them deceived, Lord. And the devil is a liar, Lord. Father, this morning, Lord, maybe the speech wasn't elegant, Lord, and certainly I lose focus at times, Lord. But hopefully, Lord, whether you're here in the sanctuary or by internet, Lord, we've shared the love of God. And Lord, as we leave this building, Lord, we know the enemy's going to come in. He's going to come into our marriages. He's going to come into the job. He's going to come. But Lord, I thank you, Lord. Lord, that your spirit can help us rise above that. Lord, help us to be people of faith, of hope, Lord, and love. Father, continue to work in us, Lord. Lord, time is short, Lord. Help us to remember that. Help us not get distracted by the news and all this and all that, Lord. It's a place for us, Lord, but help us to be prayerful and mindful, Lord, of where we're at, Lord, and what our real responsibility is. We're grateful for the material and the money, Lord, the food on the table, Lord. But, Lord, may you be the bread of our life, Lord. May you be the good news that we carry into the streets this morning, Lord. Lord, we thank you. We praise you today once again for your goodness. Lord, continue to bless Pastor Rocky in his time off. Lord, continue to renew his energy and strength, Lord. Lord, give him a freshness coming off of this vacation. As him and Kim and Brittany have been through a lot over the past couple years. Thank you for him being a man of God. Father, I just want to confess and declare over every individual in this sanctuary, Lord, Father, that we are blessed. Lord, our best is yet to come. Lord, it's not about money, but what belongs to the enemy belongs to us so we can get it out to more people, Lord, next to us and around the world, Lord. Thank you once again, Lord. Father, may you prepare this week for us. May we walk in faith and love, Lord, and carry the good news to everyone just around you. Thank you for the gift of family this morning. Lord, thank you for the worship team. Lord, all of our helpers here, Lord. Father, thank you for each, every vid. And Lord, nothing that we do for you, Lord, there is gain. There is nothing that we do for you, Lord, that will not bear fruit, Lord. So we thank you for that this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Mark.